It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're at CattleCon 24 in sunny Orlando, Florida, and ran into a neighbor from back home, Texas Cattle Feeders Association CEO Ben Weinheimer. Hey, great to see you.
Hey, you too, Tony. It's been a great convention for us this week, and had a great opportunity to see, you know, several friends and that we hadn't seen in a while, and work on some industry issues, hear several updates, and so overall I'd gauge it as a very successful convention.
Well, anytime we get groups together from any industry, it's not just the cattle industry, but any industry, we're going to have different opinions. How important is it to hear all those different opinions on really any subject it is that we're trying to move forward with the industry on?
Yeah, it's absolutely critical, especially when we're really trying to work on something collectively to move issues forward in the industry, show our collective support for making advancements in key areas. And as example this week, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the animal disease traceability policy proposal that several state affiliates kind of put out there ahead of the convention, really trying to put that marker out there, you know, far down the road to have the industry look at, you know, what does implementation of a very robust animal disease traceability system look like that would utilize RFID or EID technology, associated readers, and then, you know, some specific focus, obviously, on making sure that when that day comes, that the database that houses all that information is a privately held, non-government, and industry managed. So, you know, we had great discussions around that. We came here with some good ideas that we've got some feedback on. And then as we do with all these conventions, we work in the hallways a lot with our other state affiliate staff and leadership, and really arrive at something that we can get some overwhelming support for. And we were quite successful in getting that done this week, adopted a policy in the Cattle Health and Well-Being Committee that takes that next step of moving the already existing animal disease traceability program for the adult cattle that move interstate, which today have to have some form of permanent identification. And so this policy puts support forward for moving that permanent physical identification to an EID tag. So great progress, moving things in the right direction.
And again, there are some concerns out in the country, but we're not talking a mandatory system, are we?
That's right. It's something where when we worked carefully to make sure that people understood what the intent here, it's to collectively support and implement this type of program and allow that to be done at a pace that makes sense for the industry, and really to continue to be industry led. That ties into the, you know, adoption of the tags. Sure, does that relate to how USDA might finalize a proposed rule that they issued last year that addresses this topic? Not knowing when they might actually publish that final rule. But yet, it's not going to be an immediate or overnight, you know, transition. Takes time to move this industry forward with something like this, and all the parties involved, right, need to make sure that what is assembled and implemented is workable, operates at the speed of commerce, and that the cost of you know, any of these additional requirements aren't borne just solely on the backs of the producer.
I think another topic that was a well-discussed topic as well, dealing with another three letters, acronym, LRP. What was the discussion there, and where are we going with that?
Yeah, absolutely. The Livestock Risk Protection Program, you know, it's a program that's been around for lots of years. It's set there idle for a long time. But when RMA made some changes to that program here a few years ago, It increased the availability of that risk management tool to all types and sizes of producers. And it's one that the producers have really come to and embraced as an effective risk management tool. So that said, there were some discussions here at this meeting related to the potential interaction or lack thereof of LRP and the CME. Some suggestions that there needed to be some potentially some changes or additional evaluation of the interaction of those two risk management tools and for the industry and the respective agencies to look into that. And that's where we landed here from a consensus building approach across the states that builds the policy for NCBA, and that is let's not get things out of order. Let's make sure that we really understand what the data tells us, and react to that to make an informed decision about changes that should be made. Not try to have some type of knee-jerk reaction where, we think there's things that need to be done, but if you're not exactly sure and you make those changes, you may just be, chasing rabbit trails that aren't going to result in a good outcome. And we want, most importantly, we want to protect the availability of the LRP risk management tools to producers and ensure that it stays viable going forward.
Okay, so one of the questions I've heard around here, we're hearing back in the country as well, is 2024. And will 2024 be the year we start seeing a rebuilding of the herd? And CattleFacts had their annual outlook seminar. I know Randy Block attends your TCFA annual convention every year, so you get an update there. Were you able to pull anything out of the CattleFacts seminar that can shed some light on what might be coming in 24?
Well, and just like we hear at the convention from Matt Makins, who provides the weather outlook, and Randy Block and his entire team with CattleFacts, like you mentioned, actually both of those individuals, at our summer meeting last year, we had Matt Makins come in and really give a focused weather forecast update. We typically have Randy Block or one of the CattleFacts team members give a presentation at our convention, and always look forward to that, right? Because as a point of information, again, to rely on the best available data that we can to inform projections and what both the weather outlook and the market outlook might be for the industry. And, we really have heard a mixed bag this morning. Depends significantly or potentially on where you're at physically, geographically located within the country as far as moisture. The timing of that moisture, may be really beneficial for some. Could come too late in some areas, as it looked during the growing season within some of those regions. And then on the market side of things, as has been discussed here this week, another 2% contraction in the herd. We know what that does, right, from just the supply and demand fundamentals. As you tighten up supply, you have a inclination to have increased prices. So the price point of that piece of that conversation could be deemed good news. But yet here we are, we've got some of the best consumer demand, best global demand for the highest quality, safest beef in the world. And, our preference would be let's figure out how to send those market signals, yes, but hopefully with the good graces of additional rainfall and vegetation, we'll be able to actually start to see some of this heifer retention as CattleFacts is showing a gentle increase, if you will, in the calf crop going into 2025 and 2026. So not a lot of different there in terms of cattle numbers for this year related to cow and heifer numbers. So looks like we're going to stay down here at the lower end of the chart for a couple more years and then hopefully see some rebuilding going forward.
Well, there's been so much going on here at CattleCon 24, and It's impossible to wrap it up in just a few minutes. And it's really impossible to get a good handle on everything that TCFA is doing. But if we want to follow TCFA online, can we do that?
Sure can. Our website, tcfa.org, and on social, at TX Cattle Feeders. So definitely encourage you to take a look at our social platforms. We have a new communications manager, Lindsay Sawn, doing a fantastic job, just knocking it out of the park. We're really proud of her. All I have to do is give her as much lead rope as she needs, and everybody really engage with engage with us there on social media, because our staff's doing some great things.
Being great to see you.
You too. Thanks, Tony.
Ben Weinheimer is the CEO of Texas Cattle Feeders Association, headquartered in Amarillo. But we're in Orlando, where it's sunny and kind of warm. For CattleCon 24, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.